All right, Tabo, say good morning. Let's begin. Okay, we have a lot to do. I'm sorry. A little carried away. So let's take a look. Daf Lamed Daled Mishnah. Tabo says, oh, thank you. So our shir today is dedicated by the Isbi family in commemoration of the yard site of Rose Isbi Chai Rachel Bas Chaim Nachman. Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama has an aliyah. Shkoyach Nechemia. Thank you. All right, so we'll say, so let's begin. So we're starting with the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, again, the Mishnah from the present parak. Now this is going to be almost a verbatim Mishnah from what we learned yesterday. So Now, if a person sees a koi, now remember, interestingly enough, we've spoken about a koi in passing in a couple of different mesechtos. A koi is an animal, but it's a machlokes animal. Right, but it's machlokes as to what category of animal it fits into. Is it a chaya or is it a behema? Is it a domestic or a non-domestic animal? Now that's just not like a zoological question. That's actually a halachic question because there are nafkaminas between a chaya versus a behema. For example, again, only one of them requires kisui hadam, covering of the blood after shrita. The other does not. So therefore, and there are other nafkaminas as well. So a person sees a kai coming down and he says, and so this is the same case as yesterday where you have a group of people standing together. So if one guy says, I'm going to be a nazir So guy number one says, I'm going to be a nazir if the kai is considered to be a chaya, non-domestic animal. Harini nazir sheze eino chaya. The second guy says, I'm going to be a nazir if the kai is not a chaya, meaning it's a behema. Next guy says, Harini nazir sheze behema. I'm a nazir if it's considered to be a behema. Next guy, Harini nazir shein ze behema. I'll be a nazir if it's not a behema. Next guy, Harini nazir shezechaya ubehema. There is another possibility, which is that a koi actually has a dual designation as both a chaya and a behema. Actually, the sugya for koi we're going to discuss in chulin. That's where the sugya of koi is. So next guy says, I'm going to be a nazir if a koi is a chaya and a behema. Next guy, Harini nazir shein zelo chaya velo behema. Now, Bosnia, there's another possibility. The other possibility is there are essentially 1, 2, 3, 4 different possibilities. Either a koi is a behema, domestic animal. A koi is a chaya, a non-domestic animal. Number 3, a koi is both a chaya and a behema. Or possibility 4 is that a koi actually is in a category of its own, neither chaya nor behema. So therefore, again, now the next guy says that I'm going to be a nazir on the condition that the koi is not a chaya nor is it a behema. Next guy says, nazir she'echan mikem nazir. I just want to be a nazir if one of you guys is a nazir. This guy after that says, harini nazir she'ein echan mikem nazir. Next guy says that again, I'll be a nazir if neither of you are a nazir. Next guy says, harini nazir she'kulchem nazirin. Next guy says that I will be a nazir if what? If all of you are nazirin. So we'll say, so what is the halacha? Hare kulan nazirin. They are all nazir. Now we'll say, now this of course is quite interesting because again, based on what we learned yesterday, so whose opinion is the Mishnah reflecting? Beishamai. So we'll say, if you take a look at the Rush, so the Rush says over here, first of all, before the Rush, take a quick look at Rashi. So Rashi points out, Vra esakoi kula nazirin, va'aliba de beishamai da'amri hekdish betos havi hekdish. So we'll say Rashi's formulation is quite interesting. So Rashi says, oh, this Mishnah reflects a view of Beishamai. Now what Rashi equates this to, and his wording over here is a little bit deceptive, because Rashi says that this is Beishamai, and Beishamai holds that Hekdish Betos, mistaken designation of Hekdish, is in fact effective. So just like mistaken designation of Hekdish is effective, so is mistaken designation or mistaken articulation of Nazirus. Now remember, we know that's not exactly Beishamai Shita over here. Yes, by Hekdish, Beishamai holds that Hekdish Betos is in fact Hekdish. This case over here is a bit different. Take a look at the Rush for just a moment. So it's actually the Rush. I don't know if we all have the same Torah as that with the Rush, but in my Rush, it's in the left-hand margin. 6 lines up from before the lines get wide. Ve'im tomar, ich bal tana listom ki Beishamai. Is the Tana just coming along to go ahead and once again reinforce the opinion of Beishamai? To lebeis hilal mi she'eno kidvarav lo havi nazir. Ve'yishloma ashmu'ina nami lebeis hilal the safik nazir havi, the koi havi safik chayv, the safik behema, the safik beria, umachmirim bechumra shneim, va'asir ba'ava. So also listen to this. So the Rush comes along and says, no, the Mishnah is coming to teach us two things. Yes, this is shitas beishamai, because we also remember what was the position of beishamai. Beishamai's opinion is that lemaisa. If you make this type of tenai, and what happens? Right, mamish chasidus. He just came back from the mikvah. Yeah. So what happens? So now remember, Beis Shammai was the one who said that if you attach all these. So remember, we saw yesterday's daf. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that we don't really pay so much heed to your tenai. What Beis Shammai says is the tenai is really secondary. What's really the primary statement? I'm a nazir. We'll say, says the Rush, so you'd ask yourself, why does the Mishnah need to come to teach me another case like Beis Shammai? It's just virtually the same thing as the previous case, to which the Rush says, no, there's an important addition here in this Mishnah, which is that this Mishnah even reflects the view of Beis Hillel. We'll say, how does this Mishnah reflect the view of Beis Hillel? Watch this is amazing. Because the Rush is suggesting that according to Beis Hillel, the Psak Halacha would still be the same, that they're Kula Nazirim. Why? Because Beis Hillel paskins Safek Nazir L'chumra. That Beis Hillel will paskin ultimately again like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, that Safek Nazirus L'chumra. Rabbi said, we already saw in the Rambam that this is not the Psak Halacha. But nevertheless, again, the Rush is suggesting that this is the position ultimately again of Beis Hillel as well. So the Mishnah, again, so remember, Machlokes Rush. And Rashi, according to Rashi, so the Mishnah is solely reflective of the view of Beis Shammai, who says that anytime you make a ned and a zeros and you attach all of these different tanaim, the truth is they don't really care about the tanaim. It's almost like what we, in halacha, there's an expression called paginan dibure, which means we splice your words, right? So meaning paginan. So Beis Shammai will say, I don't care about the tanaim. What I only thing I hear is what is harini nazir. So therefore, Rashi says the Mishnah is reflective of the view of Beis Shammai. Rush says, no, the Mishnah is even reflecting the view of Beis Hillel, because Rabbi said, this is a case of Safek Nazirus. Now, why is this a case of Safek Nazirus? Because remember, so Rabbi said, this is different than the previous case. Why is it different than the previous case? Why is this different? Because in the previous case, in the previous Mishnah, at the end of the day, remember, they're saying, if this is Reuben, I'm a Nazir. If it's not Reuben, I'm not a Nazir. At the end of the day, we find out who the guy approaching is. In this case, what's the issue? We still don't know what the status of a Kai is. And as Rabbi said, this case is actually comparable to the second case in the last Mishnah. What was the second case in the last Mishnah? The guy's approaching, and then he turns back. So what was the halacha? Remember, what did the Mishnah paskin in that case? The Mishnah paskin in that case, you should observe a nedar nazirus al safek. Remember, again, we had Rabbi Eliezer, who said that you should say, if I'm a nazir, because it was Reuven, then I'm obligated. If not, it's a nazirus, it's a nazirus nadava. So therefore, the Rush just says, this Mishnah reflects the view of Beis Hillel also, because Beis Hillel will say that safek nazirus ultimately is dealt with l'chumra, and you're a nazir. Says the Gemara, Tani Chada. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara now quotes two different brisos. So one brisa says, Tani Chada, Tisha Nazirin, V'tanya Idach, Tisha Naziros. So we'll say, so one version of the brisa has it that when the Mishnah says, Kula Nazirin, all nine, because there are nine people mentioned in this Mishnah, so all nine people are Nazirin. And we'll say, the other brisa says, Nine Nazirios, that one person would be obligated to observe nine periods of Nazirus based on the case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, all right. Bishlal Tisha Nazirin Kegon Dehavi Gavra Tvei De'itvis Va'azil Bei. So also, I understand the version that says that as a result of the case of the Mishnah, there are nine people who are Nazirin, because that's the case. You have nine people all commenting on this, and therefore, again, they're all Nazirin. However, elatation is zeros lechad gavra hechim mishkachasla. But I will say, how, based on this case, would you have a situation where one person would be obligated to observe nine consecutive periods of naziros? Now watch this. He says, bishlama shis mishkachasla. I understand if you could come up with six, kedisnan. Aval tlas hechim mishkachasla. But I both say three of them can't be observed by one person. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rush for just a moment again. So the Rush says this is the second wide line in the Rush. So the Rush writes, Avates Niziros Lechad Gavra Heichi Mishkachas La Bishlamashis Kigon Sha'amar Adam Echad Mash'amra Shisha. So Shezechaya She'eno Chaya She'zeh Behema She'zeh Behema Shuchaya Ubehema She'eno Chaya Ubehema. So I understand if one guy made all of the first formulations, right? I'm going to become a Nazir on the condition that a Kai is a Chaya. I'm going to become a Nazir on the condition that a Kai is a Behema. I'm going to become a Nazir on the condition that a Kai is a Chaya and a Behema. I'm going to become a Nazir on the condition that a Kai is not a Chaya. And so you can have six formulations of that. So I understand if you tell me that if one guy makes those six statements, that he's obligated to observe six periods of Naziros. Fine. However, but I will say, here's the problem. The last three statements made in the Mishnah can't be made by one person. Because remember, I said, what were the last three statements in the Mishnah? Right? I'm going to be a Nazir if you're a Nazir. I'm going to be a Nazir if you're not a Nazir. I'm going to be a Nazir if all of you guys. That doesn't make sense. See, if one person could make all of the statements regarding the Kai, and I understand if you want to tell me that essentially the result of all of his statements made about the Kai is they all trigger for him on Nadin Naziros. But if we're talking about one guy, how could he start? Who is he talking to when he says, if you're not a Nazir, I'm a Nazir, if you are a Nazir, it doesn't make sense. To which the Gemara listen to this. Amarav Sheshes, Kigon Da'amar, Hareini Nazir, Unaziros Hakol Alai. To which Rav Sheshes responds, what's the case here, Abosai? The case is where the guy says, I am a Nazir, and all of the periods of your Naziros are upon me. Now, what does that mean? Take a look again at the Rush. Kigom da maharini Nazir Naziros Hakol Alai, Deim Tes Shet Fisu, Kideparshim As Nisin, Ba'omra Echad, Kol Din Shal Kulchem Alai, Nimtzal Be Shamai Test Naziros, Yeshno Alavalu Be Silo Test Nisafik Nazir. Supposed to listen to this. So let's say in this case of the Mishnah, there was a guy, we'll call him the 10th guy, and the 10th guy after all nine says, I am a Nazir in accordance with what all of you said. So what would be the effect of making such a statement like that? The effect of making such a statement like that is he's just accepted upon himself nine periods of Naziros. And Abbasai, here's what's interesting. According to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, both would agree. The difference they disagree with is the mechanics of that. According to Beis Shammai, you have to observe nine consecutive periods of Naziros. That's the halacha, because you accepted upon yourself whatever all those guys accepted upon themselves, and they're all Nazirim, because we split their words. According to Beis Hillel, you'll have to observe nine periods of Naziros als Sopik. So we'll say, so the Rambam over here, let me read to you the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, this is again in Perek Beis Halacha Yud. Let me just quote to you over here, I'm sorry, give me one moment. Okay, so listen to this. Right, the Rambam, Perak Beis Halacha Yud. Hayu mahalchin baderech, v'ro'u es ha'koi me'rachok. So they're walking on the road, a group of people walking on the road, and they saw the kai from a distance. V'amar echa me'em harini nozir shezechaya. So what's he goes through all of the different variations. I'm not going to do it now because of time. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, harei kulam nazirim, mipnei sha'koi ne'abosei. So here's what's interesting. So the Rambam paskins that everybody is a Nazir. Now this seems to be a contradiction. Why? Because Lamaisa, the Rambam said yesterday that what's the halacha? The halacha is that in the case of Safik Nazirus, Rambam Paskin is lahakel, is lenient. Right, so meaning that's why in the case of Reuven, if Reuven turns around and we don't know if the guy turns around, we don't know who it was, no one's a Nazir. So on one hand, the Rambam said, Safek Nazirus is Lahakil. Doubtful cases are resolved leniently. But yet here he's saying, in the case of the Kai, everybody's a Nazir. Why? Rabbi, so listen to this. Listen, this is actually very interesting. He says, Mebnei Sha'akai, Yesh Bo Drachim Shava Bahen Lechaya. V'yesh bo drachim shava bahen lebehema. V'yesh bo drachim shava lechaya ulebehema. V'yesh bo drachim she'eno shava lo lebehema v'lo lechaya. So we'll say, so this is very interesting. See, the difference over here is because they chose to make their neder regarding something that a kai, in certain respects, it's like a behema. Certain respects, it's like a chaya. Certain respects, it's like a behema and a chaya. And certain respects, it's like neither. So here's the interesting part, according to the Rambam. Therefore, Abbasai, whatever statement you made, therefore what? there's some truth in your statement. There's meaning every statement that's been made about a kai, technically speaking, is true on some level. Therefore, paskins the Rambam, that's what? That lemaisa, again, everybody will be a nazir. But again, I will say, not because of safek naziros lekula, or the chumrah, I should say. That's not what he's passing. Because remember, the Rambam is on record as saying safek naziros, any case of doubtful naziros is resolved, lekula is resolved leniently. Here, this is just a unique case by Kai, since we don't know the true identity of the animal. Therefore, again, because, or I should say differently, because this animal has all different types of identity elements associated with it, therefore everyone's right, and therefore everyone's in Nazir. Hadrun Allah Beis Shabbat. We'll say new parak. Now we're going to get into, there's a lot more to say on this, because these cases are quite interesting. The Rambam brings down, just so you should know, the Rambam brings down that this would be the same case, he says, V'hu adin imro'u androgynous. He would say the same thing would be if a person saw someone who was coming by who was an androgynous. So the mice, again, because that person has elements of a man, elements of a woman, in certain respects is like both, and in certain respects is like neither. So those, some of these unique cases where the mice, so whatever you say, you're technically correct. Okay, Hadron Alach Beisham, it says the Mishnah. Shlosha Milim Asurim Benozir. So we'll say, now actually, we've spoken so much all about the details of duration of Naziros. Now this parak is going to be a little bit more devoted to the actual prohibitions of Naziros. So there are three things that a Nazir is not permitted to do. Number one, Hatuma. He's not permitted to become defiled to the dead. Hataglachas, hair cutting. Vayotzi min hagefen. He's not permitted to eat anything that comes from grapes. Or really, it's better to say comes from vine. Comes from the vine. The chalayotzi min hagefen. Mitzar from zem zem. Now we're going to see is a Nazir is not just prohibited to go ahead and drink wine, a Nazir can't eat grapes. And we're going to see that applies to grape derivatives as well. We'll discuss what that means. So therefore, v'chal yotzi min hagefen, anything that comes from the vine, mitstarfim ze'im ze'im, will combine with each other to go ahead and form a shear of iser. V'ein chayiv ad sheyochal min ha'anovim kizayis. So we'll say, but again, a Nazir is not chayiv malchus until he eats at least a kizayis from grapes. Amud Beis. Mishnah Rishona Omer. So the first iteration of the din said, at sheyishter revius yayin, that he's only chayiv until when? Until he drinks revius of wine. Rabbi, take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment. The Mishnah Rishona, hayushon shenu chayiv at sheyishter revius yayin. So fine. So in the first iteration of the halacha, it was simply said that a nazir is not chayiv until he drinks a revius of wine. Rabbi Akiva and Bekiva says, "Afilu shara pito bayayin, v'yesh ba kidei litzarif kizayis." So also Rabbi Akiva says that even if you went ahead and you dipped your bread in wine, and there's enough to go ahead and make a kizayis of it, chayv. Now the novelty in that case is the following: the bread itself is permitted. The novelty that Rabbi Akiva is advancing is that if you go ahead and you dip your bread in wine, so that the bread itself, the volume of the bread, contributes towards the shear of kizayis, that another would be us with, even though it's only the wine that's us, not the bread. Once the bread absorbs the wine, the bread becomes a chaticha di isura as well, a part of isra as well, and therefore again contributes towards the shear of kizayis. So the Gemara says the following. The Mishnah says, "Yeshikidai tarf kizayis chayiv." Next, the chayiv ala yayim bifnei atzmo. Va'al ha'anovim bifnei atzmon, va'al ha'chartzonin bifnei atzmon, va'al ha'zogin bifnei atzmon. And I will say, a nazir is chayiv if he drinks wine by itself, if he eats grapes by themselves. And I will say, now we're going to see, there are two other parts to the grapes, chartzonim and zogin. Now there's going to be machlokis as to what these statements mean. Here's what we know. One of them means grape skins, and one of them means grape seeds. But it's machlokis, as we're going to see in just a moment, as to which one means which. But what the point the Mishnah is making over here is that you're chayiv for consuming any part of the grape. So I'm chayiv for wine, I'm chayiv for skins, I'm chayiv for seeds. I'm chayiv, of course, for the grape in its entirety. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, or Elizabeth ben Azariah says, Ein chayiv at sheyochal shnei chartzonim v'zog. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, we'll say all of this in the Gemara, that you're only chayiv once you go ahead and you eat two chartzonim and a zug. Elu hein chartzonim ve'elu hein zogin. So we'll say, so what are the chartzonim? What are the zogin? So says the Gemara. And we'll say, by the way, it's talking about where you'd be eating grape skins, of course, without, like, I guess you call it the pulp, right? Without the grape fruit. Or you're eating the grape seeds, ultimately, again, without the fruit. Obviously, if you're eating the grape in its entirety, that goes without saying. But the chap over here is, even if you're eating these parts of the grape by themselves, the nazir will still be chayiv. So Elohein chartzonim ve'elohein zogin. So we'll say, so what are these different parts of the grapes? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, ha-chartzonim elu ha-chitzonim. So we'll say, chartzonim are the grape skins, the zogim elu ha-pnimim. And the zogim, ultimately, again, are the inner part of the grape. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We'll say, so these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, chartzonim is the outer part, zogim are the inner part. Rabbi Yossi says, shalotita, in order that you not make a mistake, I'll give you a way to remember this. Kizug shel behema. Remember that it's like the bell that an animal wears around its neck. Hachitzon zug, right? The outer part of the bell is called the zug. And therefore, again, Rabbi Yossi is machlokis. Rabbi Yossi holds that the outer part is called zogin, and hapnimi, the inner part, is called an inbal, right? It's called, that's the clapper, right? That's called an inbal. So we'll say, so therefore, Rabbi Yossi just gives you a way to remember. Now, this doesn't really help for the chatzanim, it just helps for the zogim, that the zogim ultimately, again, are called the outer part, because the outer part of the bell is called the zug. So the mice, again, if the zugim are the outer part, therefore, again, the chartzanim is the inner part of the grape. Fine, says the Gemara. So we'll say, so now the Mishnah has given us all the various details, ultimately, again, of what a nazir is not permitted to eat. Now, what's also important about this is the Mishnah has given us both a solid measure as well as a liquid measure for the prohibition of nazirus. Right, for the liquid measure, again, we have a revius. For the solid measure, we have the kizayis. Novelty of Rabbi Akiva is that if you have a permitted item that absorbs wine, that permitted item contributes towards the volume of Isser. Incredible chiddush. Says the Gemara, shlosha minim asurim benazir. So remember, the Mishnah, Gemara is quoting the Mishnah. There are three different things that a nazir is not permitted to have, and it's ultimately, again, becoming defiling tumas mace, taglachas, hair cutting, and derivatives from the vine. Says the Gemara, hayotze min hagefen in gefen atzmolo. What we can infer from the Mishnah, the Mishnah says that which comes from the vine. So we can infer from that it's only that which comes from the vine that is asr, but what? The vine itself is not. The vine itself is not asr. Now what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Maslizin de lo k'Rabbi Eliezer, of Rabbi Elazar, excuse me. So our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Elazar, because what does Rabbi Elazar say? The sign Rabbi Elazar, Omer, afilu alin vilu lovin b'mashma. We'll say Rabbi Elazar holds that a nazir is not even permitted to eat the leaves or the shoots from a vine, meaning you could have soft leaves or soft shoots that are edible in a vineyard from the vine. So remember, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the fact that the Mishnah uses the Lashon that only that which comes from the vine is Aser, makes it sound like any part of the vine itself, i.e. the leaves and the shoots, will not be Aser. The Gemara says, okay, that's fine, just want you to be aware that that is contrary to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Elazar holds that even the shoots and even the leaves will ultimately be Aser, and Aser can't eat. So the Gemara says, Ika da'amri la seifa. Others go ahead and position this discussion at the end of the Mishnah. Eino chayiv ad sheyochal min ha'anovim kizayis. The Mishnah said the nazir is not chayiv until he eats a kizayis from the grapes. Min ha'anovim in me'agefen atzmolo. We infer from that what? That you're chayiv when you eat a kizayis from the grapes, but not if you eat a kizayis from the vine itself. So the Gemara says, "Mas nisin de lok Rabbi Elazar." So our Mishnah design for the view of Rabbi Elazar. Why do you say Rabbi Elazar Omer afilu olin v'lu lovin b'mashma? Because the Bosai Rabbi Elazar holds that what, that even lemaisa you can't even eat the leaves or the shoots from the vine. Fine. Shabbos says, so now what's interesting about this is we find ourselves in the midst of a fundamental machlokes. So according to the Tanakhim, according to, we'll call them the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, a nazir is only chayiv for eating from the fruit of the vine, from grapes and grape derivatives, but he's not chayiv for eating anything from the vine itself. Rabbos say, obviously, you're not talking about like taking a bite out of the vine, because that's not edible. We'll discuss that later on. but you're not chayiv for eating from the leaves or from the shoots. But yet, according to Balazar, you are chayiv for eating from the leaves and the shoots. And if you eat a kezayis of leaves and shoots from the vine, you will be chayiv. That's what the Gemara says, but my kamifligi. So we'll say, so what are they arguing about? What is the nekuda samachlokes? So we'll say, it's actually quite interesting. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says the following. Rebbe Lazar darish ribuye umeute. So Rebbe Lazar darshins that it's a ribuy and a miut. So ribuy and miut means that lemaisa, again, I will say that what we're going to be dealing with over here are just different, for lack of a better term, exegetical principles. There are, we know, again, that we say it every single morning. Or somebody says it every single morning. The Chazan says it every single morning. So right, so what happens? So right, so there are Yud Gimel Mido Shatorin Edreshes Bohen. Right? There are certain hermeneutic or exegetic principles. There are certain principles that we use. There are Halach L'Mosh Misinai principles to darshan things, to learn things out. So whenever you see a pasuk, whenever Chazal see a pasuk, ultimately that seems to be worded in a strange fashion, we use one of these principles in order to understand what the pasuk is really trying to mean. So for example, the Gemara says the following. So Rabbi Lazar darshi, ribuye umeute. So we'll say, Rabbi Lazar darshins, a ribuy and a miut. So ribuy miut means, as we're going to see, sometimes the Torah will make a general statement, then, meaning, or I should say more than general, will make an expansive statement, an inclusive statement, that's the better word. An inclusive statement, that's a ribui. Then miut, an exclusive statement. And then either we'll stop there or sometimes we'll add in what? Another ribui, another inclusive statement. So Rabbi Lazar chooses to darshan the psukim. When I say chooses, his mesorah, his tradition is to darshan the psukim of Nazir through the mechanism of a ribui and miut. On the other hand, Rabbanan darshi klali uprati. On the other hand, the Rabbanan dash in the psukim with the mechanism of klaluprat. So we'll say, what's a klaluprat? So klaluprat means a general statement, specific statement, and then sometimes there's another general statement as well. So let's go through these psukim. Watch this. It's actually really interesting. Rabbi Eliezer darish ribuy umeute. So Rabbi Eliezer darshins, he uses the mechanism of ribuy and miut. So inclusive and then exclusive. Watch this. Miyayin v'shechar. Miyayin v'shechar miyet. So let's say, so the Pasuk says the following. When talking about a Nazir, says that the Nazir can't go ahead and drink from Yayin and Shechar. So Yayin, of course, ultimately is wine. Shechar is intoxicating beverage, actually is aged wine, as we know. So he's not allowed to drink. So we'll say that's a miut. That is an exclusionary statement. It's limiting to certain things. Mikol asher yaseh megefen hayayin riba. So listen to this, so we'll say, so now what happens? Then the Torah uses another phrase. Anything that comes from the vine, that's a ribuy. That's ultimately, again, an inclusive statement. So miyot v'riba. So we'll say, what happens in the Torah when you find a miyot and a ribuy, an exclusionary statement and an inclusionary statement? What does that come to teach you? Riba hakol. That comes to include everything. So that's how the mechanism works. When there's a ribuy, when there's a miyot, an exclusionary statement or exclusive statement, and a ribuy and an inclusive statement, that means to include everything. So my riba, so what does it come to include? Riba kol mili, comes to include everything. As we'll say, what does it mean, everything, according to Belazar? Even what? Even the leaves and even the shoots. That lemaisa, again, even the leaves and even the shoots, that if a Nazir eats a kezayis of leaves and shoots, he will be chayi for violation of his naziros. My miyet, Rabbo say, something has to be excluded as well. Miyet shavishta. Oh, you know what's excluded, Rabosai? Shavishta is the actual vine itself. So if a Nazir takes a bite out of the vine itself, the Rush says, Zimuros. If he takes a bite out of the actual vines itself, even Rabbi Lazar will say that what? That does not contribute towards the Kezayis. So Rabosai, that's Shitas Rabbi Lazar. What about the Rabban? Rabbanan Dashi Klali Uprati. The Rabbanan Dashi Klali Uprat. Watch this. Miyayin v'sheicha yazir prat. So in Torah says, Yayin v'sheichar, that I will say is a prat. It's a specific statement. Mikol asher yaseh megefen hayayin klal. When the Torah says, anything that comes from the vine, that is an expansive statement. Mei chatzanim va'ad zag. But then it says, Rabbi Yosef, again, remember, it's machlokis what chatzanim and zag are. But we'll call it from grape skins to grape seeds. So chazar uprat. So then what happened? The Torah goes ahead and what? Torah goes ahead and specifies again. So Rabbi Yosef, so what do you have? Prat uklal uprat. So now I have a specific statement, general statement, specific statement. So we'll say, what's the halach when you have a prat, uklal, uprat? Even the klal could only include things that have the same qualities as the prat. How so? Mahaprat mufurash pri upsolas pri. So we'll say just like the prat represents again is fruit and psolas pri. Now we'll say we'll define what that term means in just a little bit. Literally, the psolas, the leftover of the fruit, we'll discuss what that means. Af kol pri upsolas pri. So too, again, it comes to include anything that is the ikar fruit itself, as well as the leftover of the fruit. Ima haprat mufurash pri gummer, af kol pri gummer. But maybe you'll see just like the prat, ultimately, again, is a full-fledged fruit. Then perhaps again, the nazir should be asked from any full-fledged fruit. Imkain mahaniach l'chaka sabamashmo'o shalo amr. If that's the case, then what's left, meaning what did the Torah not state explicitly, meaning what's left that wasn't stated explicitly? Anovim lachim v'yevashim. If you want to say it comes to include moist grapes and dried grapes, that can't be haksivi, those are written explicitly. Yayin v'chometz. And if you want to say it comes to refer to wine and vinegar, haksivi, that's also included. Ha'im alecha ladun kilashon acharon, ela kilashon rishon. Rather, I will say what? It's clear that lemaisa, that does not come to, rather, don't look at it according to the first way we had it, according to the second way, rather according to the first way. So I will say the Rush points out over here that says, what does it mean the second way? The first way. Haprat eno pri gomer ela pri stam. That ultimately, again, the prat is not referring to just simply a finished fruit, but rather to any fruit. Ome achar shesof eno l'rabos kol davar. And now that we're going to include everything, why does it have to say from chartzonim until zag? It's coming to teach us a general principle, which is wherever you find a prat and a klal, a specific statement and a general statement, prat klal mosif ala prat. It comes to teach us, Rabbi, say that what? That lemaisa, again, whenever you find a prat and the klal, so you are not permitted to go ahead and just simply judge everything like the prat. Rather, again, the prat becomes something, or I should say the klal becomes something that adds on to the prat. So generally we say that a klal and prat, even the klal is limited ultimately again to what's contained in the prat, except in circumstances where the Torah tells you it could be more expansive, like it does by nazir. So amar mar, maha prat mufurish pri upsolas pri, af kol pri upsolas. You're supposed to remember again that Rabbanon said that just like the prat is a pri and psolas pri, so too it comes to include everything that has a pri and psolas pri. So what does this mean? Pri, envy. So pri rabosi refers to grapes. Psolas pri mahi. But what is psolas pri? Chometz. So rabosi there refers to vinegar. So the mice again, according to the Rabbanon, ultimately again, the klal uprat, or I say the prat uklal uprat, will teach me that not only is a nazir prohibited to go ahead and partake of grape products or wine, but also psolas pri also can't partake of vinegar. I'm going to thought that vinegar loses its identity ultimately as a grape derivative. Kamash will know it still has the status of grapes, and therefore again, Nazir can't eat it. So I'm Rav Kahana le'esuye in vidichrin. So we'll say Rav Kahana says it comes to include what? In vidichrin. We'll say in vidichrin are wormy grapes. So grapes that are rotted and wormy. I might have thought that again, such grapes ultimately have lost their designation of grapes. Kamash will know. Va'ad zag, Ravina la'asuye de bein habinim. So Ravina says this comes to include grapes that are bein habinim. What does bein habinim mean? I'll say if you take a look at the Rush, so the Rush says over here, actually first look at Rashi, it's the last Rashi in the daf, bein habinim, o sadavar hakarush shebein hazag v'achartun she'emenu na'ase shmarim. So according to Rashi, bein habinim means the pulp of the grape. According to the Rush, bein habinim means pir shabinu tam, Sha'anovim ketanim sha'omdim bein hagidolim ve'inam ro'uyim la'achila v'fishenim ro'uyim p'nei achama ve'inam esbashenim. So this refers to the little grapes that are like nestled between the larger grapes in the clusters. So lemaisa again, these grapes never become fully matured because they never are exposed to sunlight. So I might have thought that again, such grapes don't have the real identity as grapes. Kamash malon, they do. Amar mar, so both remember Ravina said. Let's just go a little bit back there. So Amar Ravina said, Amra bin Lassi de bin Amra Mar. Ima ha prat mufurish pregamer. Af kol pregamer Amra. So, boss, remember again, the Gemara is just restating the brice that we said before. So, we said before, ma prat mufurish pregamer. Af kol pregamer Amra. So, just like the prat, remember, according to Rabbanu Hudarshan, prat uklalu prat. So, ultimately, again, the prat is pregamer, is a complete pre. Af kol pregamer Amra. Imkain. But if that's the case, what has the pasuk left over that has not stated explicitly? Maybe you'll say it refers to moist grapes and dry grapes. Haksivi, that's written yain v'chom, that's haksivi. But wine and vinegar are also written ha'ein alecha ladun kilashon achron ela kilashon rishon. Umeachar shesofenu l'rabos kol davar. But I will say now that we're going to include all things. Why does the pasuk have to say from the chartzonim until the zag? Lomar lecha kol makom she'ata motzei prat uklal, to teach us that any time of us you find a prat in a klal, I atarashe lemashcho v'ladono ke'ina prat, you can't just go ahead and take the properties of the prat and expound it to mean whatever you want. Ella na'ase klal mosaf ala prat. Ultimately, again, rather you have to, and when looking at a klal uprat, you have to understand that even the klal itself is just coming to add on to the specifics of the prat, unless, of course, the Torah gives you a license to allow the klal to expand and to include more than what the prat says, like the Torah gives us the license by nazir. So we'll say, since the Torah goes out of its way to say mechartzon and va'adzag, which it didn't need to say, therefore the Gemara is understanding that to mean that when constructing the klal uprat, you could even be more expansive in the klal than what's written in the prat. But in general, you're not permitted to do that. Mechartzon and va'adzag, fine. So we'll say, so we'll stop over here again. So we're stopping a little bit in mitzugya, but just to leave us off in the right way, so remember, we stopped first line, Lamed Heyabad Aleph. So we'll say, so remember, again, just so you understand, what we're leaving off over here is in the midst of a machlokis between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the flashpoint for the machlokis ultimately is a very simple detail. Well, not simple detail, but a very clear detail, which is, what's the status of leaves and shoots of the vine? If a Nazir eats a kizayis of that, is he chayef for that or no? So Rabbi Eliezer says yes. The Rabbanon say no. The Gemara understands what's at the core of their machlokes. The core of their machlokes is how they darshan the psukim. So the Rabbanon who darshan, I see differently. Rabbi Lazar who darshans ribui umiut. Ultimately, again, his ribui, remember again, the ribui, what the pasuk comes to add is that even what? even leaves and shoots are part of the prohibition, and therefore, again, if a nazir eats a kezayis of them, they're chayiv. The Rabbanon who darshan a klal uprat, the prat only comes to include what? Actual fruits. But anything that is not fruit or part of the fruit, or what they call psoles pri, like vinegar, is not included in the prohibition. And therefore, again, if you eat leaves or if you eat shoots, you will not be chayiv. I will say, we'll stop over here. And she'll continue tomorrow. Zafiyomi tomorrow morning is at 8:15 a.m. Yehudei Meretz Hashem will be giving the shir. Yehudei Meretz Hashem. Shekoyach.
The contemplation that Mesilas Yisrael talks about, the time they spend alone and the contemplation, is that the same as meditation? Because meditation, you just try to keep the thoughts out of your mind. And he sounds like he's...